got you shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results.
Good morning and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you right here on the Business Radio X Networks. My name is Ted Jank, and I'm your co-host, bringing in my co-host soon, Chris Hanks, the executive director and founder at the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. What do we do here on the Shrimp Tank? We interview some of the brightest and best CEOs in Atlanta and around the state of Georgia. We learn about the do's and don'ts of running, growing, and starting a successful business. We're all about creating the entrepreneurs for tomorrow. And we find out from some of our people on here whether or not their business will swim or sink in the tank. This year, we're really excited to say that at least once a month, we're going to be bringing on some student or some youngster that has business ideas. And we're going to hash it out right here on the tank. I can't wait to hear Chris Hanks pound somebody around their business. So I wanted to bring him in. Chris, what's going on today?
Oh, super excited about 2017. As our theme song said, you know, I'm ready to chase dreams and not chase girls. Right, Joey?
That's right.
Is that really the 2017 theme?
Not really. My goal is to recruit people to KSU and having the only entrepreneurship major. And I think that, you know, the non-chasing girls part might be a little bit of disincentive. I don't know.
But that might not be a bad sales pitch, actually, if you say, look, we have an entrepreneurship program, and the idea here is to chase dreams and not chase girls. And they say, well, I don't know if I'm really interested in that. And you say, well, we could chase girls and then chase dreams later. And that might be the reason you come to KSU then. You can recruit either way, right?
That's right. Yeah, but I'm excited because not only is our student guest on the show today in my class, but he's been part of the center for a while, but also Rhodey, the the theme
now
song
17.
Creator. He is in my class as well, so I will be with Rhodey, and Joey and Rhodey are in the same class.
No kidding here. Absolutely. Well, we're going to bring on our guest in just a few minutes, Derek Meek, who's the owner of the Green Season Group. We've got Joey here today, who's a student at KSU, a junior in the entrepreneurship program, I take it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Are you in the program?
I'm glad to be here. I am. Yes, indeed.
And what are three words that you would say that would describe Professor Hanks? How would you describe him as an educator?
Oh, wow. Well, I definitely have to lead with motivational. He kind of was the reason that I chose the Entrepreneurship Center. It's not just because he's sitting across
from
me.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. But motivational, visionary. Would be the second. He's really led the center to new heights in a time that nobody really thought was possible. And then I'd close with a good friend, somebody that you feel like you can really trust. He's easy to speak to.
Hey, folks, for you listening today, that's how you get an A.
Exactly. Yeah. It's amazing what you get people, students to say or do if you've got power over their GPA.
It's unbelievable.
Absolutely, that kind of power is great.
Now, for those of you that don't know what's going on at Kennesaw State, when Chris Hanks came over and found the Now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship at KSU, there's this idea and this notion of being able to have a student go to school, go for 4 years, and then get a degree in entrepreneurship, which is amazing. Some people get a degree in finance. Some people get a degree in accounting. Some get some sort of general communications degree, aka work at Starbucks. And the reality is that you can't get a degree anywhere starting this year, right?
Absolutely.
In the entire state of Georgia, if you want a degree for 4 years in entrepreneurship than KSU. Is that right?
We are the destination point for anybody serious about entrepreneurship. So absolutely, we are the place.
And how does that work? So for somebody that is going to be graduating or somebody listening to the show today or somebody has a child here in and around the state of Georgia or anywhere around the country for that matter, in the curriculum, what do people actually do in the 4 years of getting a degree in entrepreneurship?
Yeah, well, it's actually an unusual curriculum, too. When you compare ourselves to traditional entrepreneurship education, we're doing a lot of things different. One of them, and that's the class that Joey and I will be in later today, is the first course you will take that you're required to take is about the entrepreneurial mindset. So mindset is the precursor to action and results. Mm-hmm. So it is the mindset of the entrepreneur that makes you happier, that makes you make more money, regardless of whether or not you work for yourself or work for somebody else. And so to have an entire course dedicated to infusing a mindset, a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset into students is something very unusual and something we're proud of.
So can we get Rhody to basically do some sort of theme song like Broke as Hell for 2 years and that will be part of the theme song at the beginning of that class? I could see him doing a Broke as Hell. That's something that would be good. Is that not what most entrepreneurs in your experience have gone through is, you know, 2 years of basically being broke while they, while they climb up the mountain to actually make
the harvest is always after you plant the seeds, right? So a lot of times, you know, the planting seasons, it could be long, right? But then there's a harvest. And so the a part of the entrepreneurial mindset is like, look, I'm willing to sacrifice my today to build a better tomorrow. The idea of immediate gratification that is something that's not synonymous with entrepreneurship.
Well, it's amazing stuff. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. You can listen to us live 11:30 to 12:30 every Thursday. You can listen to a replay of all of our broadcasts of all of our CEOs on ShrimpTankPodcast.com, or you can download us on iTunes. What better to do in Atlanta traffic than listen to the Shrimp Tank? You know, I just say terrestrial radio is dying. I know this. I've been on it for the last decade in here. It's dying. Podcasts like this, you can get educated. Some of the morning stuff that's on radio now, I don't know if you can get educated at all. I really don't. Or I guess if you want to put a ball gag in your mouth and sing some songs, you probably can. But outside of that, probably not. Well, I'm excited today to bring on Derek Meek, who's the owner of the Green Season Group. And I really think Derek's going to be a great guest today because we want to talk to him about his business. But what I see happening today is that in the blue collar world of what you would consider to be blue collar businesses, there are a lot of people now that are sort of white collar owners applying what the client relationship management systems and some of these techniques for leading amazing companies. And for those of you that are thinking about starting a business, I know technology sounds sexy. I know you want to develop an app. I know you want to create some amazing website, but there are so many great businesses that are out there from carpet cleaning to heating and air conditioning to landscaping that are unbelievably great and fun businesses to run. So Derek, thanks for coming on the show today.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
So how in the world did you wake up one day and say, I want to own a landscaping company?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how that happened. It was interesting. I think my wife got tired of hearing me complain about working in other companies, and she convinced her father to loan me some money. And at first I didn't accept, then I did. And then I worked my butt off to make sure I didn't have to answer to him in Thanksgiving. So I think that was the motivation.
So your type of business is interesting to me to like, how do you differentiate yourself in a business that some could view as somewhat commoditized?
Well, I think there's a couple of different ways. You know, in a larger market like Atlanta, there is a stigma that goes along with whether you can do commercial, you can't do residential, or vice versa. If you do residential, you can't do commercial. And so how do you do both? It's been something that we've been challenged with, especially over the last 5 years with all the growth that we've experienced. But what we found, how you set yourself apart is really your systems, your processes, where you're driving, where you're going, and creating a client experience that is unlike any other.
I think it's really interesting in having talked to you about how incredibly well-read you are, but just amazing about how you think about training. I wonder if you just share a little bit about your hiring process that, you know, what I find from a lot of blue-collar business owners is that it's very difficult to find talent, that you can find work and you can get jobs, but finding the labor, which is different than a professional services business, could be tough, but it's so tough to get labor. How do you screen out and flesh out so you don't have constant high turnover and getting quality people to do that kind of work?
Ted, that's a great question. You know, I can't say that we were the best when we started. I think we used the mirror test. You know, if they could fog up a mirror, we'd hire them. that proved disastrous. We had a lot of high turnover. So what we've eventually done and what we do today is we do a combination of things. You know, we don't hire quickly. We try to hire well in advance of where the need is. We forecast our labor. And then we try to, we do personality tests. But we're really looking for character, looking for overcomers, looking for people that have a passion for what they're doing. Because we can teach and train them their skill set. That's not the issue. The issue is, do we want people that are going to stay? And that's, you know, that's a challenge in today's world. Most people, especially in our business, will jump for a quarter. So what else can you do to keep them there?
Mindset over skill set, Ted.
Yeah, no, I think it's fascinating. And would you talk more about this idea of a personality exam? Because I think one of the big mistakes a lot of young entrepreneurs get into when they get a business is around hiring talent. And often they'll quickly go to hiring a family member or a friend, which can lead to disaster or not. But you seem to have this idea about how you read personality tests that leads to higher retention or at least a better selective process for bringing in a candidate.
I do. And I think we found it true, especially in certain positions. And it's not a criteria, but it's a good indicator of weaknesses and strengths. So we certainly don't want to put someone in the seat on the bus in the wrong seat based on their personality profile. But at times we found that the personality profile doesn't reveal everything we need to know about that person. So, if we were to hire someone in the field, which is a production, we would want someone that's very driven with results. They're unsettled with mediocrity. And so how do we determine that? And, people can talk about it. Everybody's on their best behavior when they're going through the interview process. But there's going to be some key indicators that you can identify in these personality tests. They're going to at least give you a glimpse into whether that person's going to be successful or not.
Going off of that, what would you say are some internal activities that would define your culture so that when you get this employee who has character and who's motivated, you can really sell your company as different?
Well, I think it all starts with your core values, mm-hmm. And that wasn't something I really believed in when we started. But everything we do, it starts from there. And so even if we, came up against something that we didn't know the answer to, our guiding principles are going to help us make that decision. And so helping people understand more than, what they mean, we have them posted on our wall. We see them every single day. And we want to make sure that people, when they come to work at Green Season, I actually teach them what it means to us. So I sit down with each employee, wow, whether they're in the field or whether they're in an executive team, and we go through the core values and what that means to Green Season and how that relates to them on their, their daily chores.
That's great.
So if I went and talked to some of your competitors, how do you think they would describe you?
I think they would describe us as a company that puts out extremely good quality, very responsive, and a force to be reckoned with.
We love that, a force to be reckoned with. Yeah. That means get out of my way.
Yeah, really?
Because you're losing this business here today. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio Networks. I am Ted Jenkin, your co-host, sitting with my co-host Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. We've got Joey riding with a shotgun here, a junior at KSU in Chris's entrepreneurship program, and our guest today, Derek Meek, who's the owner of the Green Season Group. And Derek, I've heard you say a couple of times when I've had personal conversations about this notion of building culture. And so all organizations are hard to build culture in, I think, irrespective of the business. But I would imagine with some people who, are out with that blower all day, which, by the way, it's a quick side note here. When people have the blower around, they don't ever recognize that anything else is going on around them at all. You could be on the phone in your car. People will come up with the blower.
So, laser focused.
Yeah, those headphones must be lock solid. But how do you create culture inside of a company like a landscaping company?
Well, it's not easy because culture can mean so many different things. But I think one of the keys is being consistent in your behaviors, sticking to your core values again. So if we just talk about it, but we don't actually do it, and there's no real meat to it. And people, and today they can tell if you're fake or if you're real. I think it's also about being a people person, not necessarily that you give in to everybody's request, but you care about the person, you care about the people, and we become part of a family. It's also about creating excitement. I mean, when people come to work, I believe they want to make a difference. And if you can't teach them how to make a difference, then eventually they're going to lose interest, they're going to become unengaged, and then they're going to jump for the next opportunity. They may not know why they're going to jump, mm-hmm. So it always refers to money. But I think money, in a lot of things, is always kind of one of the last things that people make a decision on because they don't really understand why they're moving.
Yep, no question about it.
So, for people who are listening, I think that there's some people who like the idea of doing something that's considered fairly low skill and bringing some professionalism to it and seeing an opportunity there. What would you advise those type of people? Say, you know what, I could just own a painting company, a roofing company and all that, and I'll just professionalize that a little bit and that'll allow me to be successful. What would you advise them?
Well, the beauty about entrepreneurship is that you get to write your own playbook. And so, you know, if you really have a skill, and I think most people would probably start off their own business because they're good at something, eventually you're going to have to become something different than what you are if you want to grow the business. But if and that's, I think, the beauty. When you get to that point, you get to do it however you want. And so you can create a client experience. You could have some of the best and highly skilled people out there that do things a little bit differently than what anyone else is doing. And it's so much different than just the money. And I think that's what sometimes all of us get focused on. But I'm a firm believer that if you take care of your customer and you create an experience, then eventually, you know, they're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
You know, I was curious about your strategy going into this because the business is not a new business. You've been at it for a while. And as we know, in sort of the e-myth with Michael Gerber, they have this notion here of working in the business and on the business. And so when did you start to make this change in here being the active day-to-day? I'm sure there was a point that you were actually riding in trucks to jobs and things like that, and probably still do from time to time. But when did you get more of a mindset to say, holy cow, I don't have 5 employees anymore. Now I have 80. And I can't be on the road all day long. I've got to manage this thing. How did you make that transition to be more actively managing the business and saying, I wonder if this install got done right?
Well, you know, I think I was fortunate. Some of those things I did intuitively. And what I mean by that is that as we hit the bell curve of growth, I would naturally move somebody into a position and I didn't know what I was doing. But eventually I hit a lid. You know, as you know, my lid is only so high, and I had to learn to become somebody different, and that's very uncomfortable. And so for most people, they end up doing the same thing they're used to doing because that's how they get their win. That's where they find their satisfaction. That's where they get their passion, and they want to contribute. But if you continue to keep taking other people's wins, meaning your teammates, because that's the only way you know how to contribute to the business, you're really not benefiting anything. So you have to look at yourself and have that hard look and say, you know what, it's time for me to grow. I'm limiting my business. And what do I need to get there? What do I need to do?
On that note, as you've continued to grow, as your business has grown, what do you think is the most significant difference that you've seen in your personal development over the course of your company?
Well, I think you have to be disciplined. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by disciplined is you know, for some people, they like to read. For some people, they don't. But you have to be a student on understanding, being very self-aware and understanding what your weaknesses are. Also understanding your strengths and developing both of those, meaning I'm not going to spend as much time on my weaknesses. I'm going to spend more time on strengthening myself because that's mm-hmm. that's my giftedness. But I do need to understand what my weaknesses are so I can surround myself with people that are better at that. And that's helped me in all of my life. I mean, I don't believe that you're a different person at work than you are at home. We're the same person. And so the skills that I learn and the books I read and the conferences I attend and the people I spend time with are the same skills I take home to my wife and my 4 kids.
Well, that's
Joey, it's a good thing he didn't say the bottle, huh? Yeah. It could have been that too or something like that. But hey, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. When we come back, we're going to get into our Hot or Not section with Derek Meek, the owner of the Green Season Group. And we're going to find out, is it a good idea to have an Employee of the Month program? Right back when we come here on The Shrimp Tank.
Today's episode is brought to you by Business Radio X and Radio in My Booth. Would you like to have live radio at your next trade show or conference? Well, now you can with Business Radio X and Radio in My Booth, engaging a targeted audience on location. To learn more about having live radio at your next trade show, conference, expo, or event, go to radioinmybooth.com. That's radioinmybooth.com.
Hey, thanks, Ryan. Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. And yeah, if you've never checked out the studios right here in Sandy Spring at the Business Radio X Network, you really should, because like I said in the beginning of the show, and I know this because I've been on terrestrial radio for a long time, is that that medium of getting to consumers is dying. And any business that you have, you can probably have a podcast today. You can probably have a radio show. And I'll tell you what, the future of this business and marketing, in my opinion, is content. And not everybody knows what content means, but content is the future because what hasn't changed in advertising and marketing in the last 50 years is 2 words, frequency and reach. And if you're able to do those 2 things over time and the way that people receive information today, it could be very, very powerful stuff. So you ought to check it back. At some point, the Business Radio X Networks and talk to Ryan. It's really, really
there
cool.
There you
stuff.
Go.
Yeah. So I'm Ted Jenkins, your co-host, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. KSU is killing it. It's exploding. We're not just talking about Division I football. I'm sure everyone's getting excited for that. I'm waiting to see the stadium triple in size, which I'm sure it will now that there's some 35 or 38,000 students at the school right now. But it's explosive growth. And a few months back, we actually, Chris and I got the chance to interview Derek Easterling, the mayor of Kennesaw, came on the show and talked about the explosive growth that's happening there. And so this city, by the way, not only was it rated number one in growth and average income year over year of any city, including San Francisco in the United States, but the growth in entrepreneurship, especially in the areas of technology, are exploding here in Atlanta. So this place is a force to be reckoned with. You see it when you see shows like The Walking Dead and all the TV production that's done here, but there are many, many other industries and areas that are growing here. So exciting stuff. We're sitting here with our guest, Derek Meek, who's the owner of the Green Season Group. And we get to our hot or not section, whereas we get your take on some different ideas. And I was wondering, as I mentioned or alluded to before we got into the break, what do you think about the idea? Is it a good idea for a company that has sizable people? Obviously, if you have four employees, employee of the month is going to get old real quick. But if you have 100 employees, do you like the idea of an employee of the month type program?
I don't. No.
That's a not.
No.
No, that is not hot.
So how do you get that non-monetary award for the one guy who basically, you know, climbed up the pine tree or whatever it is to how do you reward that person that went up and above to do their job?
Well, I think first you have to have a metrics. So how are you measuring it? And I think it's going to be different for each position. But it also may be multifaceted. So you may have some people that are gifted in one area, not gifted in others. And also, what are we trying to communicate? What are we trying to get our people to understand is important? And so if customer service is important and I'm rewarding a guy because he you know, climbed up the tree faster than the other guy, that's not really producing someone that understands customer service is important. So we do it a little bit differently. We do something similar. It doesn't recognize one person, but it recognizes a team. And we do that, every month for the guys in the field. So there's a little bit of a monetary bump there, but it's also recognition, just bragging rights. And I think that goes a long way. We want to create a little bit of competition, but we also want to promote teamwork.
So sharing financial information, is that hot or not?
I think it's hot.
I like that. So you say share the P&L with certain people in the company or all people in the company?
I wouldn't say all because I don't think everyone quite understands that. But for your leadership team, for the people that are out there making a difference at a different level, I think absolutely. They need to know when they're winning or when they're losing.
Hot or not for a new entrepreneur, let's say Joey starts a business tomorrow. Are you starting a business tomorrow or are you thinking about it?
Well, I'm in the process of a few.
What are you thinking about doing?
Well, I'm working on one called Art Inspired right now, which buys goods from artisans in developing countries and sells them in the U.S. through school fundraisers and a few others.
Nice.
Exciting.
Wow. See, budding entrepreneurs and the entrepreneurship program. Mm-hmm. Did Hank's
heart just grew three sizes bigger right now.
Did Hank's ask for
that.
A 10% equity stake in that or not? Do you have, there must be some division of some demarcation line there that says you can't take equity in a student's business.
Well, that's actually a concern of several students because sometimes when you do research at a university, the university will take a percentage of that, which kind of makes sense because if they're paying for, like you're a grad assistant, right? And you're getting paid in some form or fashion and you're doing research, well, then the university may have a right to some of that intellectual property. But with us, so we'll get that question from a lot of students. It's like, okay, wait a minute, does KSU own any of that? Or do they take a stake in any of their businesses? And the answer is absolutely no. I was going to say yes, Joey, just to see your reaction.
That's crazy.
But no, the answer is actually no.
I could have worked out something with you after the show.
I mean, you still have control over my grade in your class.
I have control over your self-esteem and your GPA, but I do not have control or any equity stake in the business. Right. So, yeah.
Well, how about that? As we get into it, a hot or not, do you give equity to your employees? Is it good to bring them in some equity way?
I'm kind of in between on that. I don't know if that's if I can do that.
It's warm.
Warm. I'm warm on that.
What's your pro con on it? Do you have a pro con on it?
You know, I guess my pro is that it's a motivator to have some key leaders involved, whether it be monetary or have a piece of the business. And so maybe the idea is that they care more. Everybody says no one cares as much as the owner. So, hey, if you share that with someone, maybe they're going to care as much as you. The not part would be, something you've built. And I know that the people I've spoken with that have been in partnerships, they either work really, really well or they don't work at all. And so it really depends on the person you're talking about sharing the company with, I think is what it depends on.
Is it the only ships that sink are partnerships? That's it.
Yep. So that's right.
It can be true. It cannot. I mean, I agree with you. I've seen only very few of them really work out. You know, not many. More often than not, eventually, either is a mismatch in skill sets or mismatch in personalities, and it doesn't last over the long haul.
I would say that, you know, if someone's thinking about a partnership, you know, I think they have to be very clear on who's doing what.
Yeah.
Because I know there's always going to, when I actually thought about it, I had a consultant come in, and one of the questions I asked him is, you know, what do you think about a partner? He asked me, he said, well, you're lonely? I said, what do you mean? Are you lonely? And he said, I have a wife and four children. I'm very busy. And he said, no. At work, are you lonely? Do you want somebody else to help you make those decisions? And it's true. I think when you run a business, you are, you know, it's difficult to do that. It's lonely at the top. There's a real truth behind that. And that was probably more true for me than anything else. But, you know, I think you have some clear guidelines on how you're going to set that partnership up. So when you know, everybody sets it up, I'm a buddy. You got to know, you're going to know you're going to hit some tough times. What happens then?
Those are the times that you sit in your office and you're thinking to yourself, I wonder if anybody's saying stuff about me out there. And then you kind of know that it's basically the rule of thumb in life. As soon as you turn your back, they're talking about you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you own a company, not at the initial stage of being an entrepreneur, but if you're successful and you get bigger, you have to get used to that, because basically all coworkers talk about other coworkers behind their back. That's the nature of the word coworker. And, but a lot of owners can't handle that. A lot of people can't stomach that. You know, people don't like me anymore. They loved you when there was five people in the company. Absolutely. And now you got to make tougher decisions. It's tough.
Yep.
So as a college student, like I said, you know, working on my first business, and thankfully, Art Inspired, I'm doing through a student organization called Enactus, which is really helping. But would you say it's hotter to try and launch your own startup as opposed to working an internship with an established company in college?
I mean, I can see the benefit of working with another company, because you're going to learn some things, mm-hmm. Develop some skills that maybe you didn't have in the beginning. I think it really depends on what it is. If it's something that's technical where you don't have the skill set to make it happen successfully, I think yes, you probably want to do an internship. It's only going to help make you stronger. But kicking something off without an internship, I think it depends on your skill level and what it's going to be.
Yeah. Hmm.
So firing fast or firing slow, hot or not?
Firing fast, but not easy. It's hot.
It's not easy to fire people fast, but you got to fire them fast. Yes. Why is that?
Right.
Well, we talked about culture earlier. And you know, I think there's something called sanctioned incompetence. And the longer you keep somebody on that you know that's not pulling their weight, the people around you start thinking of you as someone that's incompetent, and they're wondering when the leader's going to step up and ask that person to leave.
Yeah, you know, it's up to a 30% impact on productivity, the result of one disengaged employee.
God, that sounded very professorial there.
Right?
I had to throw that out there.
Right?
30%? I mean,
yeah. And they also, if you calculate, the most expensive time in a CEO's life is the time between when they lose faith in somebody and the time they do anything about it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I had learned early in my career, as one of my early leaders at American Express had said to me, that there's three people in the room, the dominant mood will take over. And I think the numbers can be larger. So one bad apple in there can twist the mood of the eight people in the middle that don't know what mood to
really
be
can.
In. So they're either going to pull with the negative person or pull with the positive person. Fire anybody, by the way, that smells up your kitchen with bad popcorn or making turkey sausages in the morning, to completely eliminate them. That's a policy I've had for some time now. We're gonna take a break from our sponsors. When we get back here, right on the Shrimp Tank, with Derek Meek, the owner of the Green Season, and Joey from KSU, along with Chris Hanks and myself, we're gonna get into the Plead the Fifth section. I really want to know. I've always wanted to find this out, and I haven't had a chance to ask Derek. Has a housewife ever chase somebody off a property on the job? We're going to find it out here right after on the Shrimp Tank.
Does it seem like the more money you make, the more money seems to slip through your fingers? Why is it that you make six figures, but seem to have six figures worth of bills? Well, now is the time to get a plan. Set up time today to start your 21-day budget cleanse. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to schedule a complimentary meeting today. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to get started. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. We're going to go to our Plead the Fifth section soon. And thank you, regulators, for allowing us to do 18 seconds of commercial and 12 seconds of disclosure. It makes great for when you try to do 30 seconds on radio. I'm Ted Jenkins, your co-host, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. We're sitting here with Joey, who's a junior at KSU in the entrepreneurship program, and Derek Meek with the Green Season Group, who owns the company. We've had two great segments on this show, and if you didn't get a chance to catch them and you're joining us now, go to shrimptankpodcast.com. You'll be able to hear an entire download of the interview that we did with Derek today. And if you download us on iTunes on Shrimp Tank, you can get all of the episodes. We're over 80 shows now, so it's gone by quickly, and we've interviewed some amazing people, from the number one real estate agent in the company to big-time people that own security companies to one-person companies that have grown to be incredibly successful. Chris, when does the KSU 100 get started? I wonder if you just spend just a minute around that before we get to the Plead the Fifth section.
Yeah, we are right in the midst of it. February 2nd is when applications, we cease to take any additional applications. And this is basically where we select 100 student businesses. And doesn't matter what your major is, doesn't matter if you're undergrad, grad, or PhD, as long as you're enrolled as a student, and we will select 100 students in a format and a competition we describe as Shark Tank meets The Voice.
Love that.
So they will get the Shark Tank, which a lot of people are familiar with that format. And also, what I've always liked about The Voice is that aspect of, wow, you've got these young, aspiring singers, and they're being mentored by these rock stars. So in the same way, if we've got these rock star entrepreneurs in the Southeast, all part of our entrepreneurship center, what would that be look like if they started mentoring students and guiding them through the launch process?
Yeah, it should be worth noting that unless you're interested in continuing the bribery process, you need to make sure that Lee Heisman does not win this year. He might be listening today, winning three times in a row, it might start to be suspect about the Chris Hanks Lee Heisman relationship. You know, people will ask that question. Yeah. You know, like, do you guys kick the vending machine and knock out a pack of Fritos something like that?
Yeah, well, absolutely. How's that work? And you might get some dips because Joey will be he is a participant and a contestant.
Are you
in that?
The business we heard
and
today, so, you're going to present it? Or?
That's a different business, actually. I'm going to be launching Collegiate Cleaning Services in the upcoming.
Collegiate Cleaning Services.
Yeah, it's just going to be a dormitory cleaning company. So I'm pitching that.
God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, you can start kind of getting a head start on Lee and trying to, you know, drum up some talent and start picking who you want to mentor and work with. So yeah,
I may do this with Joey right here and hearing this if I can get this answer right now, which is, how do you remove beer off of hardwood floors? How are you going to do that?
That's actually a proprietary practice there. Yeah.
So. That's a secret sauce.
Mm-hmm. The secret sauce is
exactly.
He's the beer off the floor.
Absolutely. He could get it faster and more efficiently than any other dorm cleaning business out there.
Not that college kids would be drinking
beer. Of course
beer.
Not. No,
I know I'm old and maybe that's changed, but I'm still thinking they make beer, so it's possible. But we're going to get to our Plead the Fifth question here with Derek Meek, who's the owner of the Green Season Group. We've had a great interview today. I'm curious, I don't know if this would be a hard Plead the Fifth to start off on here because we do kind of a rapid fire, but what's the most expensive tree to install when you do landscaping?
Well, I think it depends on size. So the largest tree is probably going to be the most expensive. It can range anywhere from $10,000 to $25,000 to $50,000.
$25,000 for one tree?
Wow. Yes.
Wow. So when you see a big commercial building and there's 50 big trees that are out there, they literally spend $1 million to plant trees.
Depending on the variety, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Start your tree business now, Joey.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Mama, I got in the wrong business. What did I do?
Growing trees.
I could sell trees. Hire me. I want to sell trees.
Wow. So what's the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened on a job site?
It would probably be one of the guys was trying to be discreet but had to relieve himself and did so and didn't understand that the plate glass window, although it was mirrored, there was somebody in the office on the other side.
Was this a number one or a number two?
Yeah, so we got a phone call. Yeah, it was a little embarrassing.
Wow.
Wow. Did not have to dig a hole or anything like that. I'm assuming it's the number one, but still, yes. It would be pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
Wow. Or not if you're that kind of person, you know.
But I got one here.
You got one. I love
it. Yes. Do you want to or not want to leave the business to one of your four boys?
I mean, I think that would be a dream of mine. I think I would leave it up to them. If they're interested in doing something like that.
You're not going to force it on them.
Absolutely not.
You got a 1-4 chance of this being a legacy business. So I think it stands pretty good.
Could be.
Are they already working on the job sites with you?
I have introduced it to a couple of the older boys, you know, it's a love-hate relationship. They, you know, it's funny. They said they don't want to do any. They don't want to get into landscape at all after they work the long hours.
Isn't that frustrating? You build up this huge business. You're like, I have a slam dunk rolled out for you here, and you don't want this. Crazy stuff. Yes.
What would you say is your least favorite part of running your business?
Well, I mean, I think all of it is rewarding. I do think the most challenging is probably just continuing to develop the team and continuing to build the culture. You know, getting the business is not as difficult as most people would think. It's not about the quality, because I think, you know, we have some very talented people, but making sure that the right people are on the right seat on the right bus is probably the most challenging.
Good idea to marry an entrepreneur, yes or no?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah. But certainly
does it come with you like every other entrepreneur that you've got, you know, with the four boys and having a cell phone and a car and having to deal with a forest fire and stuff like that? Have they had to deal with that like while you're on family time?
Absolutely. Yeah. Elizabeth, my wife, she calls herself a spring widow. She used to love spring, and now because I'm constantly working, that's one of our busiest times of the year. I'm nowhere to be seen.
Wow. So you referred earlier to you know, that sense of isolation or the loneliness of being at the top. So what psychological price do you think you paid to be an entrepreneur?
Hank stumps him every
time.
He comes
right at you, doesn't he? Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how I want to put this. You know, I think psychologically, you get to a point where you're seeing a lot of growth, and that sometimes is how you're measuring your success. And then maybe that starts to slow down a little bit, but you're continuing to meet your goals. But eventually, you start realizing that stuff, you know, when you do those things, that may not be the payoff that you thought it was. So the level of talent you had at one point that you could produce that starts maybe running out. And for me, I had to look in the mirror at a certain point in the business and realize that I was the person that was holding it back. And that was tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Holiday parties, you like them? Yes or no?
I do. We enjoy the holidays with you know, our green season family and try to involve all of their family. So we invite, you know, spouses, kids, the whole nine yards.
If you could take the principles that you've been discussing on the show here and go to an entirely new industry besides the tree industry, of course, where do you think you would go?
I don't know. You know, I think I would probably do some type of consulting. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that. I like to see young entrepreneurs going out there and giving them advice, giving them some guidance, helping them understand some key metrics, some ways to measure their success beyond just a balance sheet or a P&L. That's probably where I'd go.
I'd like to be a professor at the KSU entrepreneurship program.
Really?
Yeah.
Name drop.
Ted has come in there and given some guest lectures in it. He actually nailed it.
That would be fun.
He really did.
Did they say you can use profanity in the manual? Are you allowed to do that in classes? Yeah. I'm not even sure how that works anymore. Are you allowed to say whatever you want to say in the class, or you can't?
Well, defined allowed.
I don't know. Anthony Bourdain
says,
they dropped the S-bomb on TV now. I thought you couldn't do it anymore, but he basically drops that in every single episode. I don't care if he's in Kenya or he's in Canada. I mean, he drops out every time. But you can't. You got to sort of be above board when you're on there, right?
Yes, we are role models, Ted. Mm-hmm.
And
you
must wear a suit jacket, or you can't.
It makes me look smarter, especially if I have elbow patches.
Nice.
I'll do it if they say I can wear a tracksuit. Yeah. If I could just wear a tracksuit to school, yeah. I would do it. I would teach class.
Velour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I'm done working, that's it. It's just a tracksuit. I want to look like as a bum can get when I'm done with this. But Derek, thanks so much for joining the show today right here in the Shrimp Tank. For those people that are out there, whether they've got a commercial building, they've got a home anywhere in the area here, or they're doing some big install, because I know you do tons of stonework and things like that, how can somebody get in touch with the Green Season Group and hire your company to handle all of their landscaping needs?
There's, you know, the website, greenseasongroup.com is a great way. There's a place on there they can press service request, and we'll reach back out to them. Or, of course, they can give us a call at our office. We have a great team there to field whatever concerns, solutions they may need.
Well, folks, you'll have to check out YouTube for the post-show wrap-up that we do with Derek today. Again, if you came in here late during lunchtime and you only caught the back half of this interview, you should go to shrimptankpodcast.com or download us on iTunes on Shrimp Tank. You can hear the entire interview that we had today. Look, if you want to be a successful business owner, there are guys like Derek Meek that you should learn from. because he's learned what mistakes that he made and ways to get the business to grow better. And now he's built a tremendously big 100-plus employee successful business, which is really not an easy task to do. So congratulations on all of that. And folks, we'll come to you next week right here, 11:30 to 12:30, right here on the Shrimp Tank. And we look forward to helping you turn your dreams and make them successful.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.